Support for this program is provided by Chevron.
President Biden, if you want an infrastructure deal of $1 trillion, it's there for the taking. You just need to get involved and lead.
Should everything be on the table? Of course it should be, because that's part of compromise.
Are you comfortable with a two-step process?
Well, look, what is in the bipartisan bill in terms of spending is, from what I can see, mostly good. It is roads and bridges, and we need to do that. That is what we are proposing in our legislation, but in much greater numbers.
We have been spending months talking about an infrastructure package of huge amounts, and it feels like now at this point we might be looking at something a little slimmer.
Well, there are many paths to get things done. What seems like at the current moment is there's been this bipartisan negotiation, this so-called Gang of 20, that has reached an agreement on a bill slightly over $1 trillion that focuses on a lot of bipartisan priorities: roads, bridges, ports, highways. There's bipartisan agreement there. That's obviously been a big priority for a lot of moderates to try to find agreement there. It includes some of the things, modest amounts of what President Biden would like to address climate change, things like investments in electric vehicles, building resiliency, cleaning up abandoned oil wells. But it's nowhere close to the president's actual plan. And that's why there's this two-pronged approach that Majority Leader Schumer has been talking about so vigorously.
Are you comfortable with a two-step process?
There's concern, of course, that if you try to hold back and do all of the popular things first, there won't be the political appetite to come back in and try to get something done with Democratic votes alone. This is Politico Energy. I'm Anthony Adragna. And today, I talked to producer Carlos Prieto about the potential compromise that could guide a bipartisan package on infrastructure and the fight over an ambitious climate bill. It's Monday, June 21st.
Right. And so what are the climate provisions that were just so irreconcilable that are just going to have to be on a separate bill?
So it's the bulk of most things. It's expanded tax credits. It's major investments in electric vehicles. It's potentially a civilian climate corps, clean energy standard, carbon tax. Most of the big ticket climate items are not going to be part of this bipartisan deal. It's not just always Senator Manchin, though he obviously looms large, but a lot of Democrats want to do a decade worth of new clean energy tax credits to turbocharge that industry. Senator Manchin in the past has sort of questioned whether that's necessary. He thinks that wind and solar are pretty mature industries. He's also at various points indicated that maybe those tax credits should be directed to more fossil fuel producing states to help them boost their industries. Democrats have not been able to agree to a strategy yet. And I think the fear that we keep hearing is Republicans are able to draw out the clock. Time's a ticking. The longer we slip later into the year, the harder it is to actually get these things done.
That has to still be a concern, right? Like, if they're giving away their quote unquote leverage by voting on the infrastructure stuff that kind of everyone can agree to without these climate provisions, I have to imagine their fears that Joe Manchin would turn around and say, well, these things are not really as urgent. Why are we going to do reconciliation or whatever? Is that still a fear that they have?
It's a major fear. That's why you saw so many Democrats last week line up behind this slogan that was first put forward by Senator Ed Markey of No Climate, No Deal. And they want a commitment from Manchin and Senator Sinema of Arizona that basically they're going to support a second package. And they're saying, we're not willing to support this first package that's bipartisan if we don't have a guarantee that you're going to be able to support something the second go around. Of course, the crazy part of all of this is neither of these bills have actually been written. There's no legislative text, and the details really do matter here. And that's what I was trying to highlight with this story is, you know, you can reach broad consensus about going big on climate change, but when you dig down into the details, there's a lot of really big, deep divisions within the Democratic Party that are going to have to be worked out if they're going to come back and try to do something with their votes alone.
And what would an ironclad guarantee look like? Is Leader Schumer considering putting these votes back to back? Is this sort of pinky promise? Like, I just don't know. What would progressives like to see to feel reassured? And what could be done to actually reassure them?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's what we're all kind of waiting on now. I mean, Manchin and Sinema have both not ruled out supporting a second crack at these things through reconciliation. But I don't know if that's going to be enough to allay the concerns here. And I wonder if we're going to end up in a situation where the timeline slips further and Democrats try to actually come back and write the bills before they consider the path to actually pass them. And I think there you see a lot of progressives in the community and Democrats on the Hill that are sort of going, clock's a ticking. We gotta actually settle and make some tough decisions. But it's felt like that for months now, and I don't see any sign that we're actually on the precipice of something more.
At this point, do we have any idea on a timeline in any way? Do we know when either the original infrastructure bill might move forward, when the tag-along bill might move forward, or is this still all up in the air?
So, I mean, Senator Schumer has said he wants to consider the bipartisan package if it emerges in July. He also wants to consider kind of the first procedural step that would allow Democrats to do reconciliation. But in my mind, you know, these bills conceivably could be thousands of pages. There's no text fully yet. So I kind of question whether or not we'll see that timeline slip, though Democrats have made very clear that they'd like to get this done before breaking for the summer recess. So it could be a very long July ahead of us. Somebody last week was like, I think y'all should cancel your plans for the first week of August if I was a betting lawmaker. And we all sort of groaned and, you know,
nodded with resignation.
Yeah, exactly. We'll see. Also, last week, the Senate unanimously confirmed Richard Spinrad to lead the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. Spinrad is an Obama alum who previously served as NOAA's top scientist and has a long history within the agency. Before coming back to the government, he was an oceanography professor at Oregon State University. Along with Spinrad, the chamber also confirmed Tommy Boudreau to be Deputy Secretary of the Interior Department, sending Secretary Deb Haaland a second in command. Capping a busy Thursday, it also approved Tanya Trujillo as an Assistant Secretary at the Interior Department's Office of Water and Science, a post from which Trujillo will work to face the droughts crippling the West. Trujillo will also help the administration in crafting water sharing rules on the seven states along the Colorado River. For more news on energy and the environment, subscribe to our newsletter at politico.com/morningenergy. And for your dose of politics and the ins and outs of Washington, join Raghu Manavalan every morning at the Politico Playbook Daily Briefing. In 5 minutes, Raghu will get you caught up to speed with what's really going on in the nation's capital. I'm Anthony Dragna, and I'll talk to you again tomorrow.
Support for this program is provided by Chevron. Did you know that Chevron supports the ambitions of the Paris Agreement? In fact, they've even tied their executives' compensation to lowering the carbon emissions intensity of their operations. Because it's only human to help power a brighter future.